Thank you. bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad you're here today. How many of you can feel the presence of the Lord with us this morning? Jesus said, wherever two or three or four or more are gathered in my name, I'm there. And there's a little bit more than two, three, or four, but Jesus is with us, and that's the most important thing. I want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online this morning. I want to ask you to continue standing, and we're going to continue our worship by sharing communion together. Hopefully on your way in, you received a serving of communion. If you didn't receive a serving of communion at the door, our ushers are standing by with some trays, and if you would just lift your hand, the ushers will make their way to you and get you. We have some folks down over here in the front on this side right here. Matthew, we have some folks. We have some folks on the aisle right over here. Just keep your hands up for just a moment, and the ushers will make. We have several people down here in the front on this side. There's some trays coming. While the ushers are just finding, keep your hand up if you need a serving of communion while they're finding their way to you. Join us in a hymn. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you sing it with us? Come on, give a good amen. Amen. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you that his body was broken so that we might be made whole in every way, whole in our innermost being, whole in our connection with you, whole in our spirit, whole in our thinking, whole in our emotions, whole in our decision-making, whole in our relationships, whole in our soul. Lord, thank you that his body was broken so that even in our physical bodies, we receive your healing touch and we have the promise of redemption resting over our bodies, resurrection from the dead. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away every sin stain. Though our sins were as scarlet, you've washed us whiter than snow. And we thank you for your promise that says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins, and not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from unrighteousness. So right now, by faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, we receive everything purchased for us on Calvary. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? Let's receive communion together. You can receive the wafer, and after you've received the wafer, go ahead and receive the cup. After you receive the wafer, go ahead and receive the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, would you just lift your voice and give him some thanks? We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Refresh your people. Renew your people. Restore your people. Encourage your people. Lord, I pray that a spirit of faith would drive out a spirit of fear, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd strengthen us in our innermost being with strength from the Holy Spirit. Come on, would you just say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing one more time. Oh, precious is the flow, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Give the Lord a good praise. Hallelujah. God bless you, everyone. Would you take a moment and just greet your neighbors, welcome them, and then you may find your seat. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Church doesn't just happen at church. It happens every day, but with busy lives, it can be hard to stay connected throughout the week.
So let's make connecting easier with the Connect app, just for our church. Once you download the free app, you can create your own personal profile.
Keep it up to date and share it with others you chose. Communicate with your small group, team, or other church members. Follow church announcements and events.
Ask for prayer requests, volunteer, and more, all right from your phone.
You can even look up members in our digital directory and give someone a quick call or email with just a tap. Giving to the church is easier too. Track your gifts, set up recurring donations,
and monitor progress toward your pledge goals. The best part is you can do it all from anywhere, at any time, right from your phone. Our new Connect mobile app is a real ministry tool.
Download the app and let's get connected.
All right, this is the only time I'm probably ever going to ask you to do that, but I want to ask you to take out your cell phone for just one moment. And I want to talk to you about Realm. Realm is our digital directory. It's how we stay in touch with you. Realm is where we store your email address and your information so that we can contact you. Realm is also how you can sign up for life groups here at Harvest Time Church. Life groups are starting back up in just a week or two when school resumes. We're starting a new semester of life groups. Realm is also, if you've ever given online to Harvest Time Church, you've already accessed Realm, perhaps without even knowing it, all roads lead to Realm, but Realm is also how we give online. And so this is what I'd like to ask you to do. If you have never signed up for Realm at Harvest Time Church, and you're part of our HTC family, would you take out your cell phone, point the camera at that QR code, and it's going to ask you to sign in, to give your email and sign in so that you can be part of our digital directory. And so we have a way of contacting you. So this is only for in-house use here at Harvest Time Church. We don't distribute your information outside of the church. It's simply for our office to use so we can communicate with you, and you can also message our office using Realm. And so if you're part of our HTC family and you'd like to be included in the digital directory so that we have your information, just go ahead right now and sign up for Realm. It's quick, it's easy, and it'll just help us out so much, and we thank you for that. Just a moment, the ushers are going to come wait on us for our morning tithes and offerings. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving today. St. Paul said, be assured of this, that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap abundantly. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that at all times you have just enough to get by. Is that what it says? Oh no, that's not what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that at all times you have everything you need to abound in every good work. How many of you know that's a good word right there? How many of you want to abound in every good work? So we thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving today. You can use the offering envelope in your program to give. You can give by credit card or debit card if you like. If you're giving by cash and you want credit for that, you can slip your cash in the offering envelope, write your information on the outside, or slip your check in the offering envelope. If you're worshiping with us online, or for everyone, if you'd like to give online, you can go to our website, htchurch.com, click on the giving link, and that giving link will take you to Realm, where you can make a secure gift online, and we thank you so much for that. Just before the ushers come, 14 of our teenagers were in Orlando, Florida this week, participating in a fine arts festival with over 10,000 Christian young people from all across the country, and they were competing in different fine arts categories, dance, instruments, voice, painting, short sermon, poetry, and our kids, some of our kids are still making their way back. Is Ruth here today? Ruth, are you here? Ruth, stand up. Ruth. All right, wait. I gotta tell you what you're clapping for. Ruth, out of 10,000 participants, placed number one in the nation for dance. We're so proud of you, Ruth. We're so proud. If you've ever seen Ruth, you understand not only is she a beautiful dancer, but the Spirit of the Lord is on her dancing. And so, well done, Ruth. You've represented our church so well and the kingdom of God. And is Luke back? Is Luke back yet? Or the Konzos are not back yet? Our own Luke Konzo placed number four in the nation for drum solo out of over 10,000 participants. And we're so proud of all of our kids. Pray for Pastor Kurt and Vivi as our kids make their way home from Orlando. They've spent a whole week with 14 teenagers. They have an extra row of jewels in their crown, And so pray for a safe return for the kids. Ushers, would you come and wait on us? I want to remind you that we will not be meeting Wednesday nights in August. As soon as the school year resumes, our boys and girls programs and our youth group will be resuming, as well as life groups and all kinds of discipleship offerings. And so we look forward to that. Just before we give thanks for the offering, the Torres family is here. So God bless you, Mark and Joyce and the kids. God bless you. Stand up for a second, would you, Torreses? So the Torreses relocated to Texas last summer. You're looking good, Mark. Texas looks good on you, and it's wonderful to see you. God bless you. It's great to have you home. Let's give thanks. Lord, thank you. You lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best you had. You offered him up for us freely. Freely we've received. So freely we give back to you today with glad and sincere hearts. Tithes, offerings, missions giving, building fund giving. Father, bless these loaves and fishes. Cause them to multiply to be more than enough to meet the need of this your house and the work of your kingdom all around the world. If your heart agrees with that, say amen and amen. God bless you while you give today.
Come on, how many of y'all are grateful to be in the house of God this morning? How many of you are excited that God is doing something in your life? If you're really excited that God is doing something in your life, can you just lift up a shout of praise? And for those of you who are not sure, can I encourage you with this? You may not be where you want to be, but thank God you are not where you probably deserve to be. And for that reason alone, you can lift up a shout of praise and go, you know what? God has put air in my lungs. He opened my eyes this morning, so that means God is not done with me. God is still working out a plan, and it's a perfect plan. It may not look like my plan right now, but it's His plan, and it's a good plan because we serve a perfect God. One more time, can we lift up a shout of praise this morning? Amen. 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 Can we thank the team for leading us in worship? Thank you all so much. Don't go far. I promise you this is going to be quick. I know you guys were like making bagels last service, and I called you all quickly back up here. They came out with food. I'm just kidding. They didn't. Hey, do me a favor. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Garnett, oh, you got a stool this time. I like that. I should have got a stool too, and then we could have sat together and preached this message together. Hey, if I come up with a really good point, could you give me like a really good like wow? Okay, we'll work on that later. We won't do this time because you'll probably freak me out, and then I'll just be like, whoa, that wasn't meant to be a point. Was it good? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. I pray that the next few minutes that we have together, that this word encourages you, but more importantly, I pray that the Holy Spirit moves on your life in a manner in which it's not just information you receive, but it's information that requires response, because that's what the gospel is. This is what the Bible is. The Bible isn't a history book where we see some really good ideas and we hear some really good things and we go, awesome, great, can't wait for that next week. But when we hear the word of God, it requires a response. And it requires a reaction. So I pray that as I bring a message that is on my heart, that the Holy Spirit would impress upon you how you can respond this week to what we talk about. And you can leave here challenged, encouraged, but also with an understanding of what it means to follow Jesus on a Monday. Because it turns out following Jesus is awesome on a Monday. It's awesome on a Wednesday. It's really cool to be a part of implementing the Word of God in our life every day. So I want to read you something that Jesus says. He is in the middle of the greatest sermon that has ever been preached. There will be none that compare to it. Doesn't matter who it is. Find the greatest preacher in the world and still pales into comparison to what Jesus does in what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And he's about halfway through, and he gets to this part where he starts talking about what and how a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is supposed to act, to respond and what they're called to do. And he gets to this part, he says in Matthew 5 verse 14, he says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. So we're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. So if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Because by opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Title of this message, if you're taking notes, is simple. It's called Keep the Light On. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor really quick and just say, keep the light on. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I pray you take this message, cut it up, and place it on the hearts of those that are in this room. Lord, let us leave here different than the way that we walked in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Out of curiosity, is there anybody in here who has ever said something or done something, and the minute you did it, you thought back to your parents and went, wait a second, that's exactly what my parents used to do? Like, without fail, it like stops you in your tracks. And the trippy part about the whole thing is when you do it, you always remember when you were a kid and your parents did it. You went, when I grow up, I'm never going to say that. When I grow up, I'm never going to act like that. And here we are, it could be 20 years later, it could be 10 years later, 30, 40, 50 years later. We're acting sometimes just like our parents. Now, I love my dad. I have a great dad. He's a good father. So I don't have any complaints about me saying things and doing things that sometimes I turn around and I go, you know what? I'm just becoming my dad every day. And one way I've started to realize that I am more like my dad is because I've become the light warden of our house. Meaning every time I walk into our house, all I catch myself doing is hitting light switches because nobody is in any of the rooms that all the lights are on it. And so I just go back and forth, and I'm mumbling to myself. And I remember my dad coming home from work and just being like, why are all the lights on? Just like hitting light switches. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm like going, kids, you guys aren't, there's nobody in this room. There's nobody in this room. There's nobody in this room. Why are all the lights on? And my kids are like, I don't know. You know, they don't care. My son's 5. I'm trying to explain to him how electricity works and how much it costs. And he's like, I don't get it. How much does electricity cost? And I'm like, it's a lot in the Northeast. I don't get it either. It's like sourced from like unicorns and fairies, brought in from rainbows. That's how much electricity costs in Greenwich. But I'm just becoming my dad, and I'm like, why am I doing this? And then I'm like, well, you know what? It's somebody's job to turn off the lights. And apparently it's my job as the light warden to turn off the lights, and I'm fine with it. I've decided that that is my role. If nothing else, my kids are going to be like, when I get older, I'm not going to walk around like the light warden. Oh, I promise you my kids will. Because they're just like me, and I'm just like my father. But that may be my job in our house. But you know what? Something I'm realizing as a follower of Jesus? It's my job to keep the light of the gospel on. It's my job to keep the light of Jesus on in my life at all times. It's my job to make sure wherever somebody might be in darkness, if I walk into the room, it's not technically my light, but it's the light of Jesus in me shining through that actually gives hope to somebody who is hopeless, that gives courage to somebody who may be discouraged, that can actually be a place where somebody can look at me and go, what is it about you? And I can go, it's not me actually, it's Jesus in me that you see. Because here's the thing, it's going to take a bunch of very normal, don't have it all together, marriages aren't perfect, families aren't perfect, kids aren't perfect, life aren't perfect, people who have had firsthand experience of the love, the grace, and the mercy of Jesus going, you know what? I may not have it all together, but I can keep the light on for Jesus in my life. I can keep the Holy Spirit working through me in order to make sure when I walk into my office, when I walk into the school I'm at, when I walk into the coffee shop I go to, when I walk around my neighborhood, people can look and go, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you. There's something brighter about your life. There's something going on in you that just draws me to you. That's our job as followers of Jesus, say, you know what? I'm going to keep the light on at all times. Can I get a 10:30 in the morning, a.m. Pentecostal amen? I was talking to somebody this week, and they were just like, so that Harvest Time church you're a part of, it was it like a non-denominational church? And I was like, oh, no. We're the church your Baptist friends warned you about. We believe it all. We believe the crazy stuff, like laying on of hands, prayer languages. You might be in the presence of God and fall to the ground uncontrollably. That's the stuff we believe. You should come check it out. And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, you will. Can I give you one thought this week? One thought. I'm going to keep this simple. One thought, and that is this. If you say, you know what? I want to keep the light on this week. This is all you got to do. You got to live a lighthouse kind of life that shines the love of Christ. I made it rhyme, so that way it's as easy as possible. Live a lighthouse kind of life to shine the love of Christ. Sounds pretty simple. And I love the imagery that Jesus is really using. He's saying stuff like, I'm going to make you a light, and I'm going to put you on a hilltop, and then I'm going to put you on a pedestal on a hilltop, so that way you can shine. And I really believe, like in my mind when I read this, I go, well, he's talking about a lighthouse. And here's the thing, lighthouses for the most part, I don't think anybody thinks about. I don't think they're, unless you're like a boat fan, you probably don't give much thoughts to lighthouses. But as I started thinking about lighthouses, I thought, you know what, lighthouses are really awesome. Like a lighthouse, its job description is its name. Like how cool is that? Like a lighthouse has one job and its name is its job, and that is to be a house for light. Like, I don't think lighthouses ever worry about their purpose. They're like, what am I supposed to do with my life today? Oh, no, wait, I'm a lighthouse. How's a light? You know, something that's really cool about lighthouses, if you think about it, lighthouses don't make blanket statement opinions, judgments, criticisms of the people in its vicinity. Like, you've never heard a lighthouse look out into the ocean and be like, wow, that's a terrible boat captain right there. Whew, good luck finding me, you know. You've never heard a lighthouse complain about people. I've never met a lighthouse that talks, but I can't imagine lighthouses like look down the coast and look at another lighthouse and go, man, Larry's so much further out on the point than I am. Like lighthouses don't worry about their position. They just have a purpose, and they go, well, my purpose is I'm a house that holds a light and holds it up in the air so people can see me wherever they are. It's pretty simple. It turns out, there is another title that is a description that pretty much solves the problem to what they're supposed to do, and that's called a Christian. Turns out the same things that we love about lighthouses apply to Christians. Like the beauty of following Jesus is that we don't have to worry about our position. We don't have to keep up with the Joneses. We just need to keep up with Jesus. He'll take care of the rest. Beauty of following Jesus is we get to lay down our opinion about everything. I am shocked. I mean, I'm legitimately shocked at some of the friends that I follow on social media that have not said one kind word since social media was created. Like, and here's the deal. We all got opinions. And I'm not saying I got opinions about everything. But it's wild how when I follow Jesus and the closer I get to him, the less I worry about my opinion and the more I worry about what it is that he has to say. Because here's the thing is when we stop being a lighthouse and shining, we become a loudspeaker. And I can't find anywhere in the scripture, it doesn't matter what translation you read, it doesn't matter what scripture you're looking for. At no point does Jesus say, here's the deal. I'm going to put you on a hilltop, but when you get to that hilltop, I want everybody to hear you. So shout. At no point does he say, hey, I'm going to create this thing called social media, and when it comes around, I just want you to be like a keyboard warrior, just crushing everything that comes your way. No, he says, I'm going to put you on a hilltop to shine. So people see you, but they don't actually see you. What they're going to see is me in you. Not hear you in you. I think sometimes we forget that our call as a Christian is not to worry about our purpose. Jesus has got our purpose. But I think oftentimes we lose the lighthouse mentality because we go, no, I have my thoughts about you. I have my thoughts about this group. I have my thoughts about that group. I have my thoughts about this situation. So you know what? Prepare world for my opinion. And what's wild is that our world is wild. I mean, it's to sit here and say that things aren't spiraling out of control, that things aren't like rapidly moving in directions that we maybe never thought possible. But oftentimes Christians take up offense and start going after people when Jesus says, no, you don't have to take up offense, take heart. You can take heart. Don't take offense. Take heart. I've overcome the world, so we'll be fine. Make sure your light doesn't go out because you're busy screaming at other people. Be a light. Shine. I didn't put you to make sound right now. I made you to shine. Why? Because darkness will always run from light. It'll always run. See, when we realize that the same grace that saved us, the same love that was extended to us, the same mercy that was extended to us, we realize our opinions don't matter nearly as much, because there might be somebody in our world who is living in darkness and is desperate for the presence of the living God, not our opinion. Can we be lighthouses this week? Can we just declare right now, this week, I'm going to be a lighthouse. I'm going to let people see me, and if they see me and they see Jesus in me, oh, the conversations will come, but they're going to come from a place of truth and love, not just my truth with my facts. Can you choose this week to be a lighthouse, not a loudspeaker? And most of all, don't get lost in the fog. Sometimes it's easy just to like be like, you know what, I don't want to be any of it. Choose to be a lighthouse. I want to give you a practical way to, if you're like, you know what, I'm going to be a lighthouse this week. I want to be a lighthouse. Can I give you a practical thing to be thinking about as you go? If you're going to keep the light on, all you got to do is keep your heart open. Just keep your heart open. I love that Jesus says, keep open house. Right after he talks about the light, he says, keep open house. Be generous with your life as your Father was generous with you. I love that thought. What's interesting about Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is that as soon as Jesus was done preaching the Sermon on the Mount, if you want to look at it as chapters, chapter 7 ends, Jesus is literally, we pick up in 8, Jesus is walking down the mountain like he just finished his sermon, the greatest sermon ever preached. I would imagine Jesus had feelings like I did, you know, like I do. I would imagine Jesus was like, that was awesome, guys. Like, I hit all my points. I got it all out. I explained the mission. People are energized. It's fantastic. So I got to imagine he was high. He was like on a high of preaching the gospel. He comes down and instantly he's met with problems. Instantly met with problems. First thing he did, he's got to heal a leper. He's confronted with a leper, worst of the worst. And he's next thing you know, he's got a Roman officer whose son needs healing. Then it says next that he had to go to Capernaum and heals everybody in Capernaum. So imagine the amount of people that were coming. And then right after that, he's got to get in a boat and he calms the storm for the disciples that probably would have died of the boat. And then right after he gets off the boat, literally, what's the next thing? He has to free 2 demonized men from tormenting spirits. I mean, talk about a guy who went from like a Sunday sermon high all the way to like the Monday morning mayhem. And if that isn't a lot like following Jesus, if that isn't a lot like real life, we come in on a Sunday, we feel good, we've got the worship team, it's awesome, the message was encouraging, we got to be around our friends, we got to feel like just, we feel pumped up, like we feel great. We leave on Sunday, lunch is good, chilling out, relax. And then I see, you know, you wake up and it's like Monday hits you square in the face. And you're like, what happened between yesterday at church and Monday today? And we go from that standpoint of just going, wait a second, I don't know if I can even keep my light on because I may not even be saved by the end of Monday. And where we start thinking about our light on, going, yeah, you know what, I really want to keep my light on. I really want to be okay with this. I want the inconvenience of following Jesus and the Holy Spirit moving in my life. But can I get a dimmer for this light? Because if I don't dim this thing, I don't think I can deal with anybody else's problems because I got my own problems. But Jesus was so good in the New Testament about always being moved with compassion in a manner that allowed for divine appointments to take place for the Holy Spirit to move.
When I say keep your heart open, what I'm saying is, are you still letting the Holy Spirit move you in a manner which he can move you into a position or a place to have a divine appointment to be a light to somebody in darkness? Because that's our goal. Jesus says, I put you on a hill, on a stand, on a hill. I mean, he was like extra. He went all the way to let you know exactly what he wants. He wants you to be seen. He wants to put you in positions and places in which people can find you easily. But oftentimes we go, not this week, Jesus. Not today. I don't think I could do this today. I got my own problems. I got my own imperfections. How am I supposed to be the one who, how am I supposed to be a light? I can barely keep my light on in me. And the Holy Spirit's going, no. I know you don't have it all perfect. I know you don't have it all together, but here's the thing. Light is most powerful in the darkness. Light is most powerful in darkness. We forget that oftentimes the times when people are looking at us is not when everything is going right. They're looking at us when everything isn't exactly right. And they're going, wait a second, it's not right for them, but they still got something about them. How come I don't have that peace? How come I don't have that joy? How come I don't respond that way? I would be freaking out. And this person seems calm, collected. Yeah, they're not smiling through everything, but there's something about them. See, we often turn the light off when the Holy Spirit says, don't turn it off. Keep it on. I'll bring people that you can be a blessing to, that you can point to. You know, I'll use you to point them to me because of your story. That's our call. That's our mandate. Can we be a light this week? But can we keep an open heart? Keep an open heart. I would challenge you in the best sort of way that if you ever want to pray a dangerous prayer, pray something like this. Holy Spirit, would you set up some divine appointments for me this week? Would you set up a couple of divine appointments? And here's the thing. It's like nobody's going to, realistically, I know sometimes we open up ourselves to that and then we go, you know what? He's going to put me on a plane and I'm going to be flying to some third world country and I'm going to be a missionary. Like we go from like, I'm afraid if the Holy Spirit's getting a hold of me, like you're going to be like flying around the world. And you know what? Oftentimes the Holy Spirit will get a hold of you by dropping a name in your spirit and a text message that follows. It's something so simple. Keeping the light on or keeping your heart open is just being generous with your time. Keeping your heart open is being generous with your words. Keeping your heart open is being generous with your actions. Keeping your heart open is just maybe a moment of kindness that catches somebody off guard. I tell a lot of the young people I get to hang out with that at the end of the day, if you want to be an evangelist, you feel like God's calling you to preach to people and you know what the best way to get into somebody's heart? Be kind to them. Kindness is one of the greatest currencies that the younger generation has. This world is getting harder with each passing turn. But what's wild is the kindness of God, one, leads us to repentance, but the kindness of God in us actually brings down walls in people to experience and to have a conversation, to actually be a part. It's not rocket science. It's sometimes the simplest thing. I was talking with a friend after the service, and we were talking about how we feel like the Holy Spirit uses us, and it's a text message. We said that's one of the number one things. I'll be on my email. The Holy Spirit will drop a name. I'll just fire off a text. And instantly, 30 seconds later, it's like, you don't know how much that text meant to me. You don't know what I've been going through. Okay, cool. How about we talk for 5 minutes? Can I pray with you? Of course. Like, it's the simplicity of keeping our heart open. All it means is we allow for the Holy Spirit to set up divine appointments. And when we get to those divine appointments, we just respond to them. It's that simple. This week, would you keep your heart open and pray that the Holy Spirit would give you some divine appointments this week? We can get the team back up. Why all of this matters? Why being a lighthouse that shines love of Christ? Why we got to keep our heart open, and it's for this reason. If you're going to keep the light on, you just have to expect people to keep showing up. You got to expect people to show up. If you're going to keep your light on, if you're going to keep your heart open, I promise you this, people will show up. God is that good. Has anybody ever had an unwanted guest?
Just so everybody's like, yes, they're sitting right there. I think we've all had like an unwanted guest at some point in time. Like, could be just like, you know, you were about to settle in for a movie and some popcorn, and you get like a text message that somebody's coming over, or you get a knock on the door. I mean, it's just awkward because you're just like, I don't want you here. You need to go. But at the same time, you're like, ugh, you know. My wife and I probably had one of the craziest experiences of our life. A few years ago, when we moved to Connecticut to launch the church that we were a part of, we didn't really know how to go about it. We knew a handful of people, and we really wanted to start this church and just do something fun. And so we thought, you know what? We talked to the seven people we knew, and we said, look, we're going to throw a barbecue in our backyard. Invite anybody you want, and tell anybody you invite to invite anybody you want. Just give out our address. We'll trust that the Holy Spirit protects us. And sure enough, we had like 55, 60 people show up. It was really amazing. It was just this really sweet, beautiful, awesome time. And I'm an early to bed guy. Like, my ideal sleep schedule is like 9 p.m. to like 4:30 a.m. Like, that's my wheelhouse. I'm good with that. But this was late. Des is more of like the, like, 2 a.m. to noon. You know, I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter. And so I go, baby, I love you. What a great night. God is good. I'm going to sleep. It was like 10:30, and Des stays up because she's reading and she loves Jesus more than I do and all that good stuff. And so she comes to bed later on, and our daughter at the time, and still is, she's kind of like a sleep terrorist. It's the only way I can put it. She doesn't sleep enough. She doesn't let us sleep enough. It's just kind of one of those situations. And so she, at the time, she was like 4. And it was early in the morning, and she comes over to my side of the bed, and she like starts kind of like tapping me. She's like, Daddy, Daddy, can I watch TV? And I was like, you know what? Go for it. You can watch TV. Turn on your kid's thing, and we're fine. And I can feel the judgment from some of the parents right now. 4. We had all the child prevention stuff on there. We're good. And so she goes, okay, I'll keep it low because of the man sleeping on the couch. And I'm thinking it's early. It's early. I didn't hear that right. And I said, baby, what? She goes, I'll keep it low for the man sleeping on the couch. Okay, let's go. And so I take her hand and I walk out to our living room, and sure enough, on the couch is just a dude. Just a dude sleeping on her couch. And I'm like, obviously Des went to bed after I did, so she knows exactly what's going on here. She knows why this guy, who I don't know, is sleeping on the couch, and she loves Jesus more than I do. We've already established that, so she probably, out of the kindness and goodness of her heart, let this guy sleep on her couch. So I walked into the bedroom, and I woke Des up, and I was like, hey, baby, who's the guy sleeping on the couch? And she goes, there's nobody sleeping on the couch. And I said, oh, no, baby, there's a dude sleeping on the couch. She walks, she goes, no. I say, yes, no, yes, get up, let's go. We walk out to the living room. She looks at the guy and says, I don't have a clue who he is. I don't know who this guy is. I said, well, I don't know who this guy is. And she says, well, this is your issue. Picks up Kingsley, goes into our son's room, pulls him out of the crib, walks into our bedroom, and locks the door. Now, I know what you're thinking. No, I don't actually know what you're thinking, because I didn't know what to think either. I just was like, this is, do I call the cops? Like, I start, like, in my mind, I'm playing through all these scenarios. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll just try and wake him up, see where we go from there. Ends two ways. He's going to jail or I'm going to jail. If it goes bad, one of us is going to jail. We'll figure it out later. So I go downstairs and I get a golf club. Oh, what would you suggest I get? Just trust that he's not a psychopath? you would have done the same thing. And so I get the golf club, and I just walk over to him, and I just start, like, poking him in the back of the head. Because he's got my pillow over his head. Like, he's got my blanket and my pillow over his head. And I start poking him in the back of the head lightly. I wasn't, like, trying to be I wasn't trying to hurt him. I was just trying to wake him up. And he starts, like, you know, he's like, you know, I mean, just making all of these noises. And as he starts turning over and as he's making all these noises, I instantly can smell now, like, where this guy has been the last 12 hours. Like, the guy smells like the bottom of a bar. I mean, and I'm just going, hey, buddy, it's time to get up. Do you know where you are? Get up, get up. Do you know where you are? And out of nowhere, he goes, I'm in Brooklyn. And I was like, no, buddy, you're in Old Greenwich. You couldn't be further from Brooklyn. It's time to get up. Get up, get up. And he's like, I'm going to Greenwich later. And I'm like, it is later. You know, it's like, he starts to kind of come to. I start to kind of like, okay, we're up. We're up. We're good. You're not crazy. I'm not. He's like, you're not crazy? I'm like, I'm not crazy. You're not crazy. Like, you're the one sleeping on my couch, bro. Like, let's define crazy first off. I said, we're good, right? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And he's like, we're good? And I'm like, as of now, I'm good. I said, let's talk about where you're at and how to get you out of here. I said, you said you were in Brooklyn. You're not in Brooklyn. You're in Old Greenwich. I said, you said afterwards that you were going to come to Old Greenwich later. We're here now, so let's help you get to where you're supposed to go. Where are you supposed to go? And he goes, I'm going to my aunt's house. I'm going to my aunt's house. And I said, okay, well, why don't you get your shoes on, get your cup of coffee to go, and I'll take you to your aunt's house. And he's like, oh, cool. Like, thanks. He obviously was, you know, still trying to get through last night, you know, while a guy with a golf club is poking him in the head. So he held himself together pretty well. And so he starts to put on his shoes. I was like, hey, why don't you get up? Let's start walking. And then we start to walk into our kitchen. And I said, what is your aunt's address? And he goes, it's 11 Sound Beach. And I went, you gotta be kidding me. And he goes, no. And I said, you're at 10 Sound Beach. And he looks out the window and he goes, ha, that's my aunt's house across the street. And I was like, hey, take the coffee to go. Goodbye. See you later. A few days later, he calls, and his aunt is just, like, mortified. I mean, she's just like, I'm so sorry. She's just beside herself. She can't believe. And I was like, it's fine. All this stuff. We're moving forward. It happens. Moving on. He calls me a couple days later, and he apologizes, like, you know, sir, I'm so sorry, you know, I didn't mean to, I know you could have called the cops, you didn't call the cops, I really appreciate all this stuff. He explains, and I'm like, look, moving forward, we're good, you're all right, everything had worked out. I said, out of curiosity, how did you end up in my house? And he goes, well, I got in the cab in Brooklyn, and I was wasted, and I passed out. And at the time, we were living on a really small street in Old Greenwich. And it actually was like kind of like an alleyway. Like, actually technically wasn't like a true street. And there were no street lights. And all the homes, there was like four or five other homes. Two of them were vacant. Like, it was like a really bizarre little street that we kind of lived on, or alleyway. And he goes, when the Uber driver pulled down into the driveway, into the alleyway area, he couldn't see any of the street addresses that were on the homes. He said, but funny enough, your porch light was on. And so he assumed that since the light was on your porch, that must have been the house that I was supposed to be at. He said, so he pulled into your driveway, picked me up, went to the front door, opened the front door, which then he says, you should probably lock your front door. I was like, shut your mouth. I should have called the cops, you know. And he goes, he brought me into your couch, laid me down, found a pillow and a blanket, put it over me, walked out of the house and left. So he goes, yeah, it just turns out your house was the only one with the light on. And that's where he put me. And I could just, like, the minute he said it, I just went, isn't that like light? Light invites people. Light leads people. Light welcomes people in. Light for the lost is the savior. Light is hope. Light is encouragement. And here's the thing. It's not physical light that we're talking about now. It's the love of Jesus. It's the light of Jesus that actually invites people in. It's the light of Jesus in our life that actually creates room for conversation and dialogue. It's the light of Jesus that actually welcomes the lost. It's the light of Jesus in our life that actually covers the sins as it covers our sins. It's the light in us that people see that actually go, wait a second, you mean there's a God who loves you? You mean that there's a light that actually overpowers the darkness? You mean there's a light that wants me in it? You mean there's hope in the middle of all of this world? Yes, and his name is Jesus, the light of the world. And that's the light opportunity we have to be, which is we keep our light on to what God has in and through us in the most random situations. That's the beauty of following Jesus and letting him shine through us, is that we get to welcome people on our couches proverbially. Lock your doors. But we get to welcome people that end up in our world that don't know how they got there, but what they experience when they get there is the love of Christ in a way they never experienced it before. Because I promise you, if you be a lighthouse, if you keep your heart open, people will come. Jesus will bring people to you that you get to speak life into. You get to bring hope to. You get to be peace to. And all they're going to do is not think about how awesome you are. They're going to see a Jesus in you and go, I want him. I need him. He's the one I came here for. How good is our God? Can I encourage you this week? Be a lighthouse. Allow for the Holy Spirit to set up some divine appointments. Keep your heart open to it and expect people to show up. And when they do, expect the Holy Spirit to give you words of knowledge. Expect the Holy Spirit to give you prayer specifically to the things that they're going. Expect the Holy Spirit to unleash on you what he wants for them. It's going to be incredible. Would you stand to your feet? We are done. Keep the light on. Because only Jesus saves. Only Jesus can heal. Only Jesus brings peace. Only Jesus is the hope for the world. Only Jesus can forgive sins. Only Jesus died to save the lost. If you're in here and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never said yes, if you've never made him the Lord of your life, then you need to know one thing and one thing clear. You're walking in darkness. Jesus says that this. He says, I've come as a light to shine in this dark world, so all that who trust in me will no longer wander in darkness. If you don't have Jesus, if you've never put your faith in him, you're walking in darkness. You could have everything in the world. If you don't have Jesus, it's darkness. You could have nothing in the world. If you don't have Jesus, it's darkness. But you don't have to try and get it all together before you get him in your life. All it takes is one moment to say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I've done this my own way and it hasn't worked out. I need your light, I need your love, I need your grace, I need your mercy, I need your forgiveness in my life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you were walking with Jesus and you were walking in the light, but you've decided somewhere along the way you're going to try and do this on your own, and you are walking in darkness again. You need to know you can come back into a relationship and have the light of the world in your life. Maybe you're in here and you've never said yes. It's time to get the light of the world in your life, and his name is Jesus. So all across this place, on the count of three, if you need Jesus, if you need that light, if you need that grace, you need that love, you need that mercy, I want you to raise your hand. And all you're saying is, yes, I need him. One, two, three. Just lift your hand up high. Lift your hand up high. It's fantastic. I promise you it's the best decision you've ever made. Don't ever worry about what anybody on your left or your right is going to think. If you know you need the light of Jesus in your life, lift your hand up high. Who cares about anybody else? This is between you and him. You will answer to him when you stand before him. Beautiful. Beautiful. You can put your hands down. Church, can we just lift up a shout of praise for all of the people who just made the best decision of their life? You need to know August 28, 2009 was the day I went from darkness to life. when I went from an old creation to a new creation because of the love of Christ. And that's the same thing you've done today, and that is to put your hope, trust, and faith in Him. So we're going to repeat this prayer as a church family, and here you, this is what you need to know. The prayer does not save you. The confession of your heart does. So if you didn't raise your hand and you know you need Jesus, repeat this prayer after me. And as a church family, let's say it together. Say aloud, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and forgiving me of my sins. From this day forward, my life is yours. You are the light of my life. Come into my heart and have your way. Show me how to love you like you love me. And in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen, amen, amen. Come on, can we lift up a shout of praise one more time? Before we end this service and the worship team leads us out as we go, I just want to pray for those of you that feel the stirring to go, you know what, I'm gonna be brighter this week. The light's been on, but I've had the dimmer switch on, and I got to turn it up. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit brings divine appointments. And these divine appointments, they may not fit into your schedule, but they fit into exactly what God is doing in your life at this present time. So Jesus, actually, you know what? If that's you, if you go, you know what? I need to be brighter. I need some divine appointments. If you feel comfortable, just raise your hand. My hand's lifted with you. I'd raise both of them if I could, but I got to speak into this microphone. Jesus, you see the hands that are lifted. Lord, we pray for divine appointments to be created. Lord, we pray that you would meet each individual where they're working. Lord, in their school, in the playground, in the coffee shop. And Lord, when you move on their hearts in compassion, Lord, that they would respond in a manner that meets exactly the need of the person that you've brought to them. Lord, we pray in all of this, they wouldn't see how great we are, Lord, but they would see how great you are and how much you love them, how much you care for them, how you have a plan and a purpose for their life, how you can bring freedom, you can bring healing, you can bring hope, you can bring joy, you can bring peace to any situation that they may be facing. But Lord, we pray supernatural appointments, supernatural opportunities to preach the gospel, supernatural appointments to lay hands and pray for healing, to pray for minds to be made right, to pray for bodies to be made right, pray for lives to come back in alignment with you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to go out singing, but church, we love you. Have a blessed rest of your week. We'll see you next Sunday.